Good morning and welcome to each of you who made it in today. I don't know about you, but I know when I looked out the window, it didn't look so bad. And then I went out the door and went out to the car and, 3 inches of snow on top of the car. So glad that those of you who could make it this morning have made it and braved the weather to come in. And welcome to those of us joining on the radio and on our Facebook broadcast. We will begin our worship service this morning with the singing of our opening hymn, "The Star Proclaims the King is Here."
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, January 3rd, 2021 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen, Brian Featon, and Ken Richard. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 399, "The Star Proclaims the King is Here." Hymn number 399 found in the Lutheran service book. The family of Robert E. and Wilma Miller are sponsoring the flowers on the stand in honor of Wilma Miller's 83rd birthday today and in memory of Robert E. Miller, who passed away on December 24, 2020. Zion Lutheran Church is sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in thanksgiving for his many blessings upon our congregation.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue with the responsive psalm. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day.
Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me.
I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation.
I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts.
I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word.
I do not turn aside from your just decrees, for you have taught me.
How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Almighty God, you have poured into our hearts the true light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light may shine forth in our lives through that same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading. The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 61st chapter, beginning at the 10th verse, and also serves as our sermon text. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was a great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, And God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right. Behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review in regards to Christian questions and their answers. Do you believe that you are a sinner?
Yes, I believe it. I am a sinner.
How do you know this?
From the Ten Commandments, which I have not kept.
The epistle reading from Ephesians, the first chapter, beginning at the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. And the child grew and became strong and filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover, and when he was 12 years old they went up according to the custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But, supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them, and he came to Nazareth, and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the Gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The sermon hymn is number 410, Within the Father's House, hymn number 410, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Kings, the third chapter. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people. Thus far the words of our text. Please be seated. So you're leaving your house. You're leaving your house. And if you're 16, oh heck, if you're 6th grader, 7th grader, this is coming. But you're leaving your house, and if you've been a mom, you know, a dad, you know. Leaving your house, and your parent looks at you and says, make good choices. Make good choices. The phrase has become so cliche that few even pay attention to it. That doesn't change the fact, though, that a need to make good decisions is very, very important. And the decisions we make, for good or ill, are going to affect us for the rest of our lives. Now, few of us realize just how many decisions we're going to have to make throughout our life. I mean, how many decisions do you make during the course of an ordinary life, and how do those decisions impact you, and how do those decisions have the consequences that bloom in your life? One of the things I have been very confident of as I have gotten older, and maybe the fall has wrecked some of this, I don't know, I have no word of God for that, but we can't feel each other's emotions, right? Like, we honestly don't know what somebody else is feeling, okay? And parents, I think, have this wish that kids could grasp the emotions of the parents' own bad decisions. Now, one of the things I've noticed, parents don't talk about the mistakes they've made in their life with their kids too terribly much. Oftentimes, I think it's because we're afraid that a kid is going to look at us and go, well, you turned out all right. The answer to that question is no. No, it didn't turn out all right. I just hide it really good. Because those decisions that we've made over the course of our life have impacts on us. And we feel them throughout the course of our entire life. And those of you who are mature in years know that there are decisions you made in your teens and 20s that still haunt you to this day, that still come back to you. And we also know, just like most things in life, one bad thing overrides 10 good things. And so one bad decision sticks with you way longer than 10 good decisions will stick with you. So saying, make good choices, shouldn't be blown off. It's not a joke. It's a deadly serious thing. And though our days and our times and our seasons are definitely in the Lord's hands, you know, there's all kinds of decisions we have to make. We still have to make the decision to go to the doctor, right? To get that checkup when we need to get that checkup, to get that yearly exam or get that diagnosis. And the choice that one makes at that time can shorten life or extend life. Each of us must, throughout life, make financial decisions. Whether we're qualified to or not, we have to put our trust in somebody else who we believe understands markets and finances. And do we buy this product or that product? You know, that can go good for us. That could go not so good for us. There's also a time when a person must make important decisions in spiritual matters. Now, it's absolutely true that by our own nature and strength, we cannot choose Jesus. We cannot decide for Christ. But we can, by our own strength, decide against Christ. And we can reject Him. Imagine the dire consequences that decision will have in eternity. It makes the difference between unimaginable joy in heaven and an eternity of unspeakable misery in hell. Looking at the magnitude of all of our decisions, we see how necessary it is that we also implore God's guidance so that we can make our decisions in the true fear and love of God. This is shown to us by the decision that Solomon made. Solomon made when God asked him what he wanted. Ask of me, and I will give it to you. Solomon had just offered at Gibeon 1,000 burnt offerings to God. And that night in a dream, God came to him saying, ask for what I shall give you. Now think about that. God gave Solomon the choice. How many people have longed for such a like situation to happen to them? But I would say that God has already done that to you, hasn't He? It's been recorded for us in His Word in the Bible. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Whatsoever you ask in the Father's name, ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. So before we envy Solomon too terribly much, let's understand the very great privilege of prayer that God has given to each and every one of us, his children. Oh, I know, Pastor, but wasn't Solomon just a little bit different? If the Lord appeared to me in a dream, it sure would be easier to have faith in him and to have confidence in what he's asking me. If someone was thinking that or mentioned that, I'd probably fall back on the rich man and Lazarus. You remember the rich man and Lazarus, the parable that Jesus told. The rich man was in hell, Lazarus was in heaven. The rich man was in torment, Lazarus was in comfort and in joy. And the rich man asked Abraham, Abraham, Father Abraham, send Lazarus down here to dip some water, just a drop of water, and touch my lips, for I am in agony in these flames. And Father Abraham says, well, I can't do that. Even if I wanted to, there's a great chasm between us, and we can't do that. And so the rich man says, well, send someone. Let me go back and tell my brothers to amend their sinful lives, so that they may not come to this place of torment. And what was Father Abraham's answer to that? Look, they have Moses and the prophets. If they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe even if somebody returns from the dead and talks to them. Right? So what do we have? We have the most paramount thing we need. We have the Word of God. We have His words that He wants us to know recorded for us. And that should be enough for us. The Lord has spoken. And if we won't trust the clear words of our God and recognize our great privilege, I doubt we would believe even if a vision like Solomon's was granted to us. But it was now up to Solomon for him to make his decision. And being human, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that he was tempted to ask for certain things that would have been foolish or unworthy. And because you and I have also been born of sinful flesh, the temptation for us to ask or at least desire to ask for foolish and unworthy things is great enough, all on its own. We don't need any help to do that. We might be tempted to pray for an unnaturally long life. Or we might be tempted to pray for a quick death to escape any suffering that has befallen us. We too are tempted to crave riches and honor. And even as young people, most of us have wished that we were rich, thinking that most of our problems would go away if we had just enough money to take care of them and then do some of the things we want to do. And as we grow up and get older, that desire for wealth and riches usually kind of doesn't go away. Hey, we've had difficulties with other people. Now, I doubt anybody here has asked the Lord to make somebody else pass away because we don't like them. But I'm sure we've all been tempted to pray that God would fix the person that we don't like, that God would change the person we don't like, that God would make that person more like I want that person to be. I'm not sure that's a wise prayer to pray. So we've had these things. We must recognize the temptation to abuse the privilege that God has given us in prayer. And we need to be on our guard so that we make before God appropriate requests and not inappropriate requests. And though Solomon was surely tempted to ask for unworthy things, he began to consider the great need of the moment that he was in. He thought of the mercy shown to his father David. Solomon considered the people over whom he was to rule. Solomon saw in his subjects a great people. In other words, they were God's chosen people. That's what made them great. God had chosen them to be the people through whom the Messiah would come. Solomon did not forget his God-given office as king over these people. He understood then that he wasn't king for his own sake. He was king for the sake of the people. And realizing this, what did Solomon ask for? He asked for an understanding heart. He asked for wisdom to lead God's people. In effect, Solomon's choice was this: God, you have put me in this place. Now what I ask of you is you make me your man in this place. Help me to live as you would have me live in the place of life where you have set me. Shouldn't that be the prayer of each and every one of us? You have put me in thus and such a place. Now make me equal to the task you have set me in, and let me be your man, let me be your woman in the place where you have set me. In other words, what did Solomon do? He asked for the gifts to fulfill that place which God had cut out for him in his life. The same goes for each and every one of us. We should also make such wise requests of God. As we prepare to go into the new year, each and every single one of us ought to consider our place in life. Are you a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, a wife, a husband, a worker, or student? Where has God placed you? We should consider our parents and be diligent not to bring shame on our family or our family's name. If we're parents, we ought to realize we have not been made parents for the sake of ourselves, but we are parents for the sake of our children and their benefit. We should consider what work God has for us to do, remembering that our lives and influence may mean great things under God. It may mean the difference between salvation and damnation for some. That's a heavy responsibility, especially for parents. Lord, make us equal to the task that you have given us in that time and place where you have put us. Considering that, it's of overwhelming importance that as we work as God would have us work. And we should also, like Solomon, consider our own personal shortcomings and our own personal inadequacies for life's calling. Solomon said, I'm young. I don't know what I'm doing. This is a big task. It's almost too big for me, Lord. So give me the strength and give me the wisdom to succeed in this task and the place that you have put me. That's what Solomon was asking for. And that's a good example for us to ask us for. Make me equal to the relationships I am in. Make me equal to the profession I am in. Make me so that I work in a godly fashion at the tasks you have set me to work for. Let us decide, as Solomon did, and in our request, place ourselves at God's disposal. Let us ask of God an understanding heart. Let us pray like Jesus' disciples prayed. Lord, increase our faith. Or remember the prayer of the Father. I believe, help my unbelief. We do this asking that we glory in the cross of Christ, on which He won for us full salvation at such a great and mighty cost, tremendous price. In faith, we ask that God would equip us for that work which He would have us do, so that we may serve Him to the absolute best of our abilities in the tasks that are set before us. We read that when the Lord heard Solomon's prayer, it pleased Him. Solomon was given an understanding heart and great wisdom. And Solomon was also granted many things for which he did not ask. And even though Solomon had a weakness for women, as was well recorded, and he did stray from the path that he should have stayed on, it doesn't change the fact that if a person seeks first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, God will add many other blessings to him. So I thought about it. That's one of the main reasons this congregation established a school, right? Because what is the beginning of wisdom? It is the fear of the Lord. And what do we teach at our school? We teach the fear of the Lord. Considering that covenant God would make with all people, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. May God then grant you in the new year you're entering into an abundant measure of His Holy Spirit, so that for the many choices and the many decisions you will make in this coming year, you may always make God-pleasing decisions. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. Dear Lord, we come before you asking that we petition you in all wisdom, so that you would lead us to make wise choices in all we do. Teach us, O Lord, to honor and keep honorable our family name. Help us to understand our different vocations and serve you and those you have given us to serve to the best of our abilities. Grant that our faith in Christ would ever be paramount in our lives, leading us to life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
It is on account of your mercy alone, O Lord, that we are not consumed, and your faithfulness is new every morning. Abide with us, O God, throughout the coming year. Be our guide in perplexities, our strength in weakness, our ever-ready help in all troubles. O Lord of hosts, preserve in your church your word and your sacraments, so that the number of those saved would ever increase. Look graciously upon our nation and all nations, that we may dwell in peace. Grant to all in authority wisdom and courage to govern, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. To you, O God, we commit this coming year, our nation, our church, and our families. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, we ask that you would continue to be with the family of Bob Miller as he was laid to rest yesterday and they grieve his passing. Strengthen Bob's family in the confidence of the resurrection of the dead and a joyous reunion in heaven with those they love. We pray also that Wilma, even as she mourns, would be granted a joyous birthday with family and friends around her, that as she, O Lord, celebrates the 83 years that you have given her, may she recount your blessings and your grace. Be with and walk with Wilma all the days that you give her. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Loving Savior, hear us as we pray for those amongst us who are sick and in need of health. We ask your grace upon Teresa Ricart as she prepares for an upcoming heart procedure, for Eric Burwell and his continued recovery. Make your presence known with Caitlin Hedrick and her family as you continue to bear up John Beaver and his wife Kathy during her hospitalization. For all the sick and all those we name in our hearts, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Almighty God, in whose hands are all things, we implore you to bring an end to the global pandemic affecting our world, so that the sickness and death would cease and all on the globe be given reason to praise you for your mercy. All this we ask in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated for our musical interlude.
You have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or on Facebook Live or on the Internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion services are also available on cable channel 5 and on the LCTV app on your smartphone on weekends at 10 and 5 and on weekdays at 8 and 5. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information about our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen. Thank you.
Let us rise for the singing of the offertory. Remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Almighty God, grant to your church your Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the consolation of your name abide unto the end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 589, Speak, O Lord, Your Servant Listens, hymn number 589 found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Just a couple things. There is no Facebook Bible study tonight, and we'll put out what's going to happen with that as the weeks go by. Elders are meeting on Tuesday and comparing the state's regulations and the pandemic and all of those things. So we're making decisions how we're going to continue on Tuesday. I understand that part of the city lost power between 3 and 6 this morning, somewhere right around in there, I don't know. But we had heat, so I'm very thankful that we didn't lose power here, and that was on. And I just want to say, I kid you not, it's only set at 70. Okay? It's like people, everybody's like, oh my goodness. And people fanning themselves, and I came in this morning and I was like, holy cow. I don't know, maybe I should say sacred bovine. This is hot in here. And I looked at the thermostat. It's not even 70. It was still working its way up to 70. So I beats me. But hey, I'm happy we got heat. So also, the elders are going to usher us out from the back of the church towards the front, just to be respectful of the tier 3 mitigations. Now I'm going to go through the side door here and just give each other time to get their coats out of the rack and then off the rack, so we're not all smashed together at the coat rack. And may the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.